Hi, Mrs. McDejean. Thanks for this interview this morning with us.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, so we'd like to ask you if you could tell us a bit about your background and what are you passionate about in your life?
Well, I was always very curious and I always wanted to know more about how the human body worked since I was a child. So I started working in labs when I was 17. I have a BSc in pharmacology and a PhD in biochemistry from the University of São Paulo in Brazil. Then I became a professor at the University of Rio, and I was studying, I was trying to identify new diagnostic tests for Alzheimer's disease. And I realized that we do not have enough tools or the most precise tools to study the brain. At the same time, here in Montreal, Dr. David Coleman, he was the director of the Montreal Neurological Institute, and he was starting the neuroengineering program. And then he offered me to come for a year as a visiting scientist and to help to join the neuroengineering. And it was a group trying to, you know, put everyone in different disciplines together, a multidisciplinary group, and see if we could find new tools to understand how the brain works. And I joined the neuroengineering group in 2008. And instead of a year, I spent 8 years at McGill. And one of the tools I developed is basically a mold where you can grow brain cells or spinal cord cells in vitro exactly like they grow in the body. So you can miniaturize and make little spinal cords and little brains on a chip. And when this helped me a lot with my own work. I developed this for the work I was developing at the time, studying spinal cord injury. And then when I started presenting it, more and more people, other researchers start asking me for this product, saying, you know, could I have some of those molds because I'm studying another disease or this or that? After a year, we sold 2,000 units. And then a company approached us and asked for 10,000. And that's when I realized, you know, I could help much more people if I would enable other researchers to use the same tools. It could accelerate their work as much as it accelerated mine. And I decided to quit my position as a researcher and, you know, focus completely in developing this product and offering to the wide scientific community.
Okay. So this is what brought you to create in 2015 the startup Ananda Devices.
Yes.
How did your collaboration with Business Accelerators influence the growth of Ananda?
Well, it was very important because, as I said, you know, all my background is in academia, and I had no idea about, you know, how to start a business, how to scale up the manufacturing, how to negotiate the IP with lawyers, you know, the contracts, what's important and what's not. So the accelerator helped me a lot on putting together a plan. First, I was at the McGill Accelerator, the X1, but it was just 3 months. And after the 3 months, I was like, wow, how should I continue moving now, you know, finding a team and negotiate with investors and everything. And that's when I met District 3 from Concordia, and they were fantastic. They offered me space, including lab space, where I can continue to develop new products and mentorship. And at Concordia, I have a coach, and we have, you know, weekly meetings, and we discuss, because in the startup world, things happen very fast. What's your priority today? Maybe it's not your priority tomorrow. Like in one day, your priority is hiring someone for sales. The next day, a company that has a full sales team offer you to, you know, a term to distribute your devices. So you have to be able to, you know, move and understand this world really fast.
Okay, and regarding the aspects of the acceleration, in your opinion, what are the less tangible aspects of the process, even though those aspects are as important as the more tangible ones?
Yes, the most obvious ones are, of course, you know, having a coach, learning, having the classes on, you know, what's customer acquisition and product development and so on.
Yeah.
But the less tangible ones and very important also is to have to be surrounded by startups and to see the struggle of every day of other people just like yourself, because sometimes you think, am I crazy? You know, I'm trying to bring a new product to the world that no one else knows about it, and I have to start from zero, and I never did this before. Am I the only person in the world with this crazy idea? And then at District 3, you see 60 other companies, and much more than 60. I don't know how many people are there, I think 500 or so. You know, always the same, all trying to change the world, all trying to make, bring solutions to problems people face every day, and they are facing the same problems as you are, you know, like questioning themselves. And, you know, like first time I received an order from Ontario, I was like, oh my God, how do I tax them? I had no idea. And then you just ask the startup behind you, and they did it, you know, a week before you, and they help you with that. It's fantastic. I think the companionship is very important.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and to conclude, Ms. McDejan, based on your own experience, what advice would you give to other scientists who think about creating a startup?
I think the most important one is learn as fast as you can the business language. And, you know, as scientists, we are used to take a book. We're used to read all the time. If you want to understand something more, we just go and analyze this in deep. Yeah. So do it. Take as serious the business part as you take any other science you do. And if you really love your idea and you want to share it with other people, join an accelerator or incubator program where you're surrounded by people that already went through the path and know how to help you.
Okay, yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So thank you for this interview, and have a good day.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.